temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Here he comes. How you doing, buddy? You all right?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah. I had to talk to some Surfside people back there.
Oh, yeah. Aww. Stateside people were here earlier, right?
Oh, so man, much vodka here right now.
Getting free liquor.
Oh yeah. Well, they brought all the all the bottles of Stateside earlier.
Yeah,
the right streaky bottles.
Yeah, I was gonna say with your logo on it.
Yes, my signature on it.
Yeah.
I warned.
By the way, a little of a sloppy signature.
Yeah. Well.
Like it looks like it's like a third grade signature.
I think I did it online. I think when we did
that,
they just copied it.
What's that?
That can't count if it's online. Like that's impossible.
Well, I think that's what we did, or I was rushing. The bottle looks amazing. I did warn them. They were like, "We want to make this bottle." We did the year logo for Right to Ricky. Looks really cool. And they reached out and they're, "We should do a bottle with this logo." And I was like, "That is dangerous." I said, "I don't know how many people are going to buy it. It looks cool." But if my exact words, I could show you the text. My exact words were, if we go down 0-2.
Yeah, it may not be what you want to do, yeah.
May not be. So it's time. The Phillies are on a West Coast trip. They swept in San Diego, then lost the first game in their series with the Angels last night. And to talk about it, it is time for everyone's favorite segment of the show, the Jackie Baseball Report.
It's time for the Jackie Baseball Report. Here's Jackie Baseball.
Now, who stayed up for the game last night? Hey, both of you up at 12:30?
I did for six innings of it.
It was good.
It was 4-2 when I went to sleep.
Yeah, well, you should have stayed up. You cost the team a ball game.
I watched it this morning.
They have not won a game in Anaheim since 2003.
Is that true?
Yeah.
How many games have they played in Anaheim?
Like 8.
Oh.
But still.
Yeah, that's wild.
They played the vet the last time that they won a game out in Anaheim, so that's crazy. So a couple things in the Jackie Baseball Report. Listen, I'm a Rob Thompson guy. I defend Rob Thompson. But as someone who also preaches keeping it real,
yeah,
you know, I don't need to defend everything he does.
Oh,
I don't need to defend everything he does.
You are, though.
He has been a little too lenient with some of these starters and not pulling them a little bit earlier. Chris Sanchez was all over the place last night. Tywin Walker is Tywin Walker. Back-to-back games did not have a guy ready to go when that inning starts, and it blows up in their face. Now, they didn't lose on Sunday because, you know, Tywin Walker allowed a 3-1 home run. They did lose last night because, listen, it was first and second no outs when he brings Kirkering in. Like, at that point, with the way Chris Sanchez is pitching, he's all over the place. Got to have a better feel to get him out of the game earlier. I thought Rob Thompson with that decision was annoying and continuing to go to Sir Anthony. And listen, I appreciate trying to get Sir Anthony right and situations like that, but has to be more low leverage situations. Like a tie game in the seventh when Matt Strom hasn't pitched since Wednesday, like get him in the ballgame. I don't need to see Sir Anthony again. So two things from Rob Thompson last night, a little bit too much confidence in his guys.
Yeah, but how do you see this? This is where even I, when I try to be critical of Topper, it's like one or two times a year. Mm-hmm. Like they go through these slumps, and I'm like,
usually opening day, usually the first week of the year. That's more critical of them. Yeah,
it's like one or two times a year. But I will say he's been more right relying on his gut than he's been wrong. Although there's been critical times when he's relied on his gut in high leverage situations in the postseason that I think always plants a seed in the back of everyone's mind. Like, seriously, dude, when is it too many pitches versus not enough pitches? When are you having faith in sticking with a guy versus knowing when to take him out of the game? And sometimes your loyalty can bite you in the butt.
I think the real error in the last two games is just not seemingly being prepared for what's about to happen. By the way, this is the second start in a row that Sanchez has been sort of all over the place. It's mm-hmm. He didn't look great in the last game. He didn't look great in this game. And I thought that when he came out for the seventh, I thought the same thing. Oh, no. I thought the same thing. And
these guys aren't seven-inning pitchers.
Chris Sanchez.
So Sanchez was the sixth. But, yeah. I mean, but it was still like at some point I appreciate trusting guys. And I think over 162 it does matter. But a little bit better feel of this guy doesn't have it. Let me just at least hedge. I'm not saying you got to pull him immediately. But after the first runner got on last night, get him out of there and give Kirkring more of a shot. And my second thing, before we get to hashtag Ask Scott Trout, I'm curious what you guys both think about this. Which do you believe is more real, the bone breakout or the Ranger breakout?
Ranger.
Why can't it be both? It
could be both, but I guess which do you buy more?
Can I say why Ranger?
Both.
Both?
Yes.
Well, you're a Bohm guy. Yeah, it makes it tough for you to. But if you had to pick one,
it'll be Alec Bohm.
Okay. The only reason I pick Ranger is that it's hard for a pitcher who isn't excellent to have a month like Ranger just had. But I've seen hitters have a month like Bohm has had and then just go back to normal. So if I had to pick one, I would pick Ranger.
What's normal for him? When you say go back to normal, I mean, if he goes down the batting 285 to 290, that's still all-star level play.
Well, it depends on the rest. It depends on, just hitting 285 is not all-star level play. Well, it depends on the other stuff.
Of course. Yeah, well, I'm assuming he's going to continue to lead the team in RBIs and hits. I mean, he did it last year, and he's doing it again this year. His average may drop, but does everything else drop off?
I don't know. But he's not hitting for
hitting
for power. Yes. So if the average goes down, his production will definitely take a hit. I don't know. I've been really happy with how Bohm hits the ball. He's been driving the ball. Even though he hasn't been hitting home runs, he's been driving the ball. But if I had to pick one, I think between Ranger in the playoffs last year and then how he has looked so far this year, I would pick Ranger. I would say Ranger.
You could also make the argument, what did Ranger look like? Did he pitch against Atlanta in the first series?
He pitched game three.
He should have, right?
Yeah, he did. That's when Albie's like golfed the ball out. He was fine. He wasn't great, but
yeah. So I only say that because I know some of the other opponents were Washington,
sure,
Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. So it's not like he's dominating the Dodgers, the Braves, the top lineups.
Sure.
Whereas Bohm is out there every day hitting.
That's true. We'll see.
That's all I'm saying. Right? And listen, you know me, I put shekels on Ranger.
The correct answer is both. That's the correct answer.
I would take 75% of what they're both doing, to be quite honest with you.
Okay.
If you know what I mean? Like, if they both level off to 20% below where they are, I think we are in great shape. Because obviously neither of them is going to keep up this particular pace. But if this is the sign of what the new norm, not that this is the new normal, but the new normal is just a level below this, I think we're in great shape.
You don't think Bohm can hit 330?
Nah.
You guys are crazy. He's hitting 330.
I would love to see it.
He's hitting 330 this year.
Alec Boggs over there. Alec Gwynn. I'd love to see it.
Alec Gwynn.
Now, I did see they're playing the Angels.
He was another slap hitter.
And what?
Tony Gwynn.
Tony Gwynn, yeah. Never struck out.
Yeah.
Never struck out, yeah.
Exactly. Never hit home runs either.
Yeah, absolutely. But did hit close to 400.
Was he actually valuable, Tony Gwynn?
Oh, we're not doing that.
Could you imagine that today?
Oh, my God.
Was he Ben Revere of the 90s?
So you mentioned the Ask Out Trout thing.
Yeah.
I didn't see that we have a petition on the website.
Oh, yeah.
To get.
Yeah. And you're, I mean, of course.
You didn't sign it?
No. This is the biggest loser. This station's in a lot
Dude,
of loser stuff.
Dude, you've been doing the Embiid is the greatest thing that's ever since
exactly.
sliced bread.
What are you talking about?
Who chooses to be here?
How am I trusting your loser meter?
Who, by the way, who chooses to be here? The guy that you want to come here had an option to go anywhere in Major League Baseball, and he chose literally the most invisible franchise in all of baseball. And not only forgetting.
Only if he went to Seattle could he be more invisible.
Right. Yeah. And at least Seattle, well, I guess they both in the 80s, 90s, whatever, had their moments. But not only is it, forgetting about, you know, obviously great player, whatever, yada, yada, yada. It's pathetic for us as a city and a fan base to be, this team was in the World Series 2 years ago, was in the LCS last year, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden we have to beg a player who's on another team to ask out of his contract. Not only that, a losing team, specifically asked to come here. Mm-hmm. This is like below us, and not only is it offensive to me as a radio host, offensive to us as a fan base, it's offensive to the Phillies. Chew the players on the team. No, it's not. All of a sudden, we're all cheering for Johan Rojas. Oh, yeah, great defensive player. Now he's hitting now. And you know what you're telling Rojas?
Picked off again last night.
Well, yeah, but...
the spike was cooking. All right,
but
you
know, you know what you're telling him?
Yeah.
Not good enough.
Okay, how about
you're
this?
Not good enough.
How about this?
You know what we want? We want a guy who has 10 years left on his contract, who has a back injury, and who chose to play for a loser franchise instead of, and we got to beg him to come to a World Series contender? Screw him. He should have a petition.
For what?
To come. It should be him. If he wants to get out, that's fine. I'm not begging somebody on another team. This should be below you.
It's more asking him to see the light and do the right thing and come home. And you mentioned Rojas, right? And let me lead you into the trap here, as we often do in radio. It's for Castellanos, not Rojas, baby. We're shipping it. Casty to Anaheim, a part of the contract. You're adding extra prospects to offset some of the money.
No, because you're paying Castellanos.
Well, sure. If you take Castellanos, and we'll give you better prospects because Mike Trout wants to be a Philly, and they'll do the right thing by Mike Trout.
If the right thing, Mike Trout should have done the right thing by Mike Trout.
Well, you're immature. Younger? Yeah.
Tell you what, he looks good in a batter's box, man. Solid.
He's a
stud.
Yeah.
This should be below
nice
all of you.
But no, I want to give my team the best chance to win the World
Series. Traps,
I have an idea, Jack.
Hey,
idea.
What's your idea?
Why don't you take a big plane full of your podcast listeners, and why don't you give him a standing ovation everywhere he goes? That way he knows what could be in store for him.
Might be thinking about that for like Pittsburgh or Baltimore when they're coming, like you're taking over the stadium. But
a little
like
closer.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait a minute. Think about taking over the stadium to beg another player to come to your team. That's already good. You're telling me how good the team already is.
Yeah.
Oh, they're 18-11, great team, World Series contender, Bedlam at the Bank, Red October, blah, 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 and begging some loser guy who wants to play on a worthless franchise.
Yeah, Bryce Harper's labeled a loser till he got here too. And what has Bryce Harper turned into? A winner.
You know what? Bryce Harper, we didn't have to beg Bryce Harper to get out of his contract.
Oh yeah, we didn't beg Bryce Harper to come here.
He was a free agent.
Okay, we still 4 months of begging him to come here. Are you kidding me?
This is pathetic.
There was
you personally.
Yeah.
This is pathetic.
I beg.
It's pathetic.
I have no shame in begging.
You should be embarrassed.
Never. Harper Lent. Yeah, it was him personally.
You too.
Listen,
you know, I used to think more of you.
For the right player, I will beg. No problem.
Then you know what? Go back in time and beg Mike Trout 6 years ago.
Well, listen,
this team,
listen,
in 6 years,
Mike Trout. Mike Trout on his team, first of all, makes his team awesome. Mike Trout is an awesome baseball player.
Great.
You know this, and I know this.
For sure.
Yeah, does it make you feel a little dirty that you almost have to beg him to leave the Angels? Sure it does. Sure it does. But for the greater good of the city and how we would feel, did you see how we just reacted with Jeremiah Trotter Jr.?
Yeah.
You imagine if we brought Mike Trout back here?
But Mike back here? He's from Vineland.
Well, that's close enough.
Millville.
It's close to Vineland.
Is it?
Yes.
I only know Scott Honda in Vineland, New Jersey. I don't really know that area. But so what?
That's like, 30 miles away from here.
What are you so angry about?
I'm disappointed.
There's no disappointment here. All we're trying to do is ask Mike to come play right field for the Phillies. You take imagine swapping out Trout and Castellanos.
If it happened, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go over to Lakin's desk. I'm going to ask for the names and email addresses and phone numbers for everyone who has signed the petition, and I'm going to visit each and every one of them so I can look them directly in the eye and tell them what a loser they are.
Wow. If we get him here, that would make us winners.
Yeah, we're going to celebrate if they get him?
Yes, absolutely.
That would make us winners. We would have actually had an impact.
He's not asking out and demanding he come to the Phillies. It's not going to happen. He had a chance to leave. He had a chance to leave, and he doesn't want to come here.
Why do I feel like this is you trying to rain on our Phillies parade because the Sixers parade is getting rained on?
There's
right
the
now.
Real question. Yeah,
that's what I'm feeling now.
Or maybe Lakin's cooking a new idea, and old program director doesn't like the idea.
Well, that could be that. That's more likely. I'm pro Phillies. To be clear,
I didn't say you were anti Phillies. I'm just saying
anti-Lakin.
You're sour on the idea of us getting better.
Honestly, I don't know what kind of ship Lakin's running over here. Do we have an I'm the captain now drop?
No, we don't have that.
I think the morning show does.
Okay. 215-592. Wait, is that the number? I forgot the number. I got so wrapped up. 215-592-9494. Believe in Embiid tonight? Give it one more night and ask out Trout. Do you think it's loser activity? I do. Scott Newtown, you're on WIP.
Yo, guys. Good show as always.
What's up, Scott?
Not much, man. The reason Spike, I love you and all, but the reason you're so mad is because, like, finally your father is right, you know? It's funny. It's awful, but this whole process has landed just on Embiid, and I was for the process and everything, but it just, like, it's coming to an end, you know? It just, when you started off the show and you scream at people and you're like, well, what would you trade Embiid for?
Yeah.
What would you do different? I agree with you. There's nothing to do. That's how bad the process has got us. Like, all this for nothing. And, like, I understand, like I say, like, it fills the stands and all of it, but it's just like a shell of a team. And, like, I don't know what to do, and I think Embiid is an awesome player, and I don't see how you trade him. And it's just like, man, how do we get to a spot where both our GM and the best player on our team are always out of breath? It's just like...
Daryl is always out of breath. I have no idea what's going on there. Every interview he does, he sounds like he just got in from running. I truly don't know what's going on. I understand where you're coming from. If you want to go back to what went wrong, and thank you for the call, truly what went wrong, the Sixers bent to pressure from the NBA. They fired the guy who was doing something here, and they replaced him with
a moron. Oh, you mean when back in the day?
Yeah, and they replaced him with a moron.
Yeah.
Like, they replaced him with a liar, moron, bad guy in Brian Colangelo.
Yeah.
Stupid. They let Jerry Colangelo basically pick the next... Think about what happened here. The NBA stepped in. The NBA said, you got to do something about this. They introduced Sixers ownership to Jerry Colangelo, who then gets them to hire his son to be general manager of the team, and has the nerve to tell all of us that he had nothing to do with the process. They just happened to hire his son. It was a disaster. Everything between Sam, I have no idea what Hinkie would have done afterwards. He could have fallen flat on his face too, but I can tell you what wasn't the right thing to do was that. And that was the beginning of the end. And that's how you end up with Embiid, and they luck out with Maxey and nothing else. That's how that happens. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, that there's certainly been so much that has gone on, and you try to lay your finger on, okay, where do you want to place the majority of the blame? And that's why I always go back to, you know, it's more about the organization has failed Joel Embiid than it is Joel Embiid has failed this organization or failed us. Like, that's where I go back to. You know, you surround him with players that won't shoot the ball or forget how to shoot the ball, you know, coaches that don't really have a clue of what they want to do or how to run a team and have good structural and sort of a culture that is a winning culture. Although he preached to you and talked down to your fan base and turned your fan base off from your team and your stars on the team. Like, it's been so much that has gone on during this time. You don't know where where to really place the majority of the blame. And I think that's where Embiid sort of gets it, because he's the mainstay. He's the one constant that's been here through it all. And listen, you want to fault him for being big man that can't stay healthy? I think it's misguided, but oh well, whatever. If I don't want to do the whole poor me and making excuses, okay, he's been injury prone. But it's been more of that that I've been frustrated and disappointed with than it has been. And I know what happened last year in Game 7. I certainly remember what happened last year in Game 7 and him not showing up. But his supporting cast, more importantly for this year, particularly this Knicks series, here's what I say with Joel Embiid. He didn't have to come back. A lot of these dudes wouldn't have come back after that type of surgery and being in a play-in game and with no real shot at winning a championship. And only he knows his true reasons as to why he fought to get back on the court. He didn't want to hear he's injury prone. He didn't want to hear from the fans. He wanted to get out there for his teammates. He wanted to, whatever the outcome was going to be, he was willing to accept it, but he was going to go out there and die on his sword, out there on the court, as opposed to the last time you saw him play was January 30th. He did do that. And as a star player, we know plenty of these star players would have shut it down and not have come back. So he did come back, and he is giving you everything he has, even though he isn't completely healthy. Like, that earns him something. It should. Even with all the frustration and everything else, we talk about wanting players to give us their all, give us maximum effort, and leave it all out there on the court. It's what he's doing. It's what he's doing. He's on one leg with one eye. I mean, let's be honest. And it's really not him as to why they're not losing. I've mentioned this. I understand fourth quarter scoring. But if you don't have him giving you what he's giving you through the three quarters, it may not even be a game in the fourth quarter. So when do the supporting cast bring it home? You know why Joker can have 19 points and 20 rebounds going into the fourth quarter and the Nuggets still got a great chance of winning and he finishes with 25? Not because he took over in the fourth quarter. His co-star took over in the fourth quarter.
Jamal Murray did.
Yes!
And has done it twice, by the way.
Yes! Michael Porter Jr. hit 8 3-pointers in the game. Like, that's what his supporting cast is doing. While he's getting, if at worst, he's being played to a standstill with Anthony Davis, if not being outplayed by Anthony Davis in some of those games. Like, Anthony Davis was giving you 30-plus points, 15-plus rebounds in those games. So, Joker had his hands full dealing with Anthony Davis all game. And he had co-stars that stepped up for him. This is where, other than Maxey at times, we're not getting enough from the other guys. And that includes my guy, Toby, and all the rest of those guys. But you're just not getting anything from them. You're not getting anything from them. You know why Brunson's up 3-1? Because his role players have showed up.
They both have one outrageous game. Both Embiid and Brunson have one outrageous game.
Yep. And Brunson just had his game 4.
Each team won their player's outrageous game. And in the other games,
it was the role player.
Yeah, and Embiid has outplayed Brunson in the other games.
Yep.
At 100%. So
it just, I know it's frustrating, man, but
it sucks.
But it's not him per se.
I don't think it's him. I think the complaints about him in the playoffs previous to this year were legitimate.
All legitimate.
I don't think they're legitimate this year. I just don't.
And it's why I haven't been critical of him this year. But I will say this. It doesn't mean that the injuries that we constantly deal with every year won't persist. So for those who feel like I'm done with it, I've had enough of it, I'd rather move on from them. I get why they feel that way. I don't necessarily feel that way, but I get why they feel that way.
I understand why they feel that way. And at some point, probably really soon, we will discuss the realities of what that looks like.
Yeah.
I understand
You're
how people feel.
You're saying just not today is not the day
not
to feel
today.
That way.
It's just not today.
Today's the day we fight.
Yes.
We need to take it back. We're gonna dig deep.
I don't need your sarcasm.
We're gonna have the Knicks fans overtake us tomorrow at Game 6. It's the Thursday night. Sick.
Well,
put us out of our misery.
You're such a loser.
Two to the head. Bang.
Speaking of the loser over there, we have a controversial piece of Jack audio, which
more
the legitimacy of that audio is being disputed.
Of course it is.
It's being disputed. We will play you that audio and talk about the legitimacy of the audio, which I'm offended. We'll talk about that next. The WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. You know, summer is no longer next. It's basically here. May is tomorrow, and you lay in bed at night, and it's warm. Your house is warm. It's hot outside when you walk out, and that means that your windows are more important. Why? Well, because when you turn on the air conditioning, if you don't have good windows, that cool air is going to escape. You've been thinking about replacing those old, drafty windows, and you just haven't wanted to deal with it. Deal with it now, and go Gaida. Not only are they going to make the entire thing easy for you, which is important when you have somebody coming out to do work on your house. As a homeowner, you know that. You want them to show up. You want them to show up on time. And the price. You want the price to be right. Go Gaida. They're going to give you 20% off all windows and doors, and they'll allow you to start your project with no money down and 3 years to pay them off interest-free. And it's not just windows. Entry door, patio door, garage door, which yours has been broken for 3 years. You haven't fixed it. Go Gaida. As I said, 20% instant savings and interest-free for up to 36 months. Restrictions apply. Offer is good for a limited time. Don't wait any longer. It's time you finally go Gaida. Call today. Schedule a free in-home estimate at 877-GO-GUIDA or visit them at GoGuida.com. That's GoGUIDA.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Coming up in 30 minutes, you've been waiting for it. I will finally give you all of my YouTube scouting for all of the Eagles draft picks. You got my big board, but now you're going to get my Eagles board. Find out what I think of everyone. I did it all this morning. Well, I did some of it over the weekend, and then the guys that were left, I did this morning. So that is coming up at 4 o'clock. And in just 5 minutes, a shocking piece of Jack Fritz audio that we played on Friday, that its legitimacy is being disputed, Ike. And I feel like my integrity is on the line.
Well, it's been on the line since he got back.
All right. We'll do that in a second. Damon and Conshohocken, you're on WIP.
Oh, can you hear me well?
We can hear you, buddy.
What's up, Damon?
Okay. Ike, what's up, Ike? Yeah. I think you kind of were speaking to what I was going to say to Spike, because, listen, Spike, I've listened to you for a long time, and I feel like you said this last year of, oh, it's going to turn around, and everyone's going to, like, it's not going to turn around until it turns around. Well, here's another year of the same thing. And I was at the point last year where I kind of in my head after the same disappointment said to myself, well, what if we do trade the MVP and what could we get for him? Now we're 1 year removed from that, another set of injuries. And I think that's almost if that might be the only like thing that you can stand on at a certain point is like the guy's never healthy. And when he's healthy, maybe it'll be time for this team to take the next step. And like Ike was saying, you can go back as far as you want to. You guys were talking about that a minute ago on how this team is with, I mean, management, ownership, everything. It's like we're like the Dallas Cowboys, I feel like, at this point with how they've been managed. And, again, I don't know. I don't know what to do with this guy. I feel like he's your best fit to rebuild or do something with to move forward. But if we just keep going around the same track, like, that's what I want to ask you, Spike. What do you think of that? Like, you're on the same path, it feels like. Do you not agree?
I think that it never works out for the team that trades a player of his magnitude. Never works out. It doesn't. There are some times when teams are forced to do it, and if they are forced to do it, within a few years, maybe something comes around. New Orleans was forced to trade Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
And here they are, and they're a good team, but they wound up with, they thought, the jewel in Zion Williamson. And here he is. He's hurt every single time. And they traded. They were forced to do it, but they traded. And everything looked great. They had tons of draft picks. They got Zion. That's what everybody wanted. And here they are, no better off. And if would they have been better off with Anthony Davis? The answer is yes. Every single one of these situations where you take a player of his level, as they're all imperfect. None of them are perfect. There's all the Anthony Davis, by the way, doesn't want to play center, hurt all the time. Yet, no, none of these players are perfect. But there's just no record of a team saying, I'm going to voluntarily get off of a player of his level and do something else that I can think of. So I think, and thank you for the call, Damon. I know this sounds defeatist. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that the best chance they have at winning a title in the next 2 or 3 years is take swing after swing after swing with Embiid. And if it doesn't work, if he demands, whatever happens, if your hand is forced, cross that bridge when you come to it. But no, I wouldn't do it now.
Yeah, and I don't think the Sixers would do it either.
No.
So,
kidding?
Yeah, I don't think the Sixers would do it either, but it doesn't mean the outcry for that won't get louder.
Absolutely.
And that's where I feel like we're headed. Like it's one thing to have the majority of the city believing and then we all get disappointed. You know, it becomes a much more toxic environment if half the city wants him out of here and can't wait till he leaves and they don't believe. And you got the other half of the city trying to fend people off and defend him, and we're still no closer to winning a title. Like, that's where it becomes, and I think that's where he will eventually become resentful and bitter himself.
You know, I think, I know this sounds insane. I think if they lose tonight and he scores 46 points with 12 rebounds and five, I honestly think the offseason Embiid stuff is pretty quiet, at least from fans.
You're right. I think they won't be blaming him.
I don't think so.
Right. I won't be, no.
Yeah. I think that part, I understand why everybody's frustrated today. Mm-hmm. Get it. What? But I truly believe that if he shows out and however many more games are in this series, I think we got to get rid of this guy will be a lot quieter than it has been in the previous couple of years where they have failed.
But what Embiid do you think we're getting tonight?
Exactly. So I was going to say, what if we get a worst-case scenario where we get something that resembles Game 7 of last year tonight.
Then it'll be 85% get rid of him. Mm. I think so much hinges on forget about they.
Oh, you mean him? Yeah.
Him.
Yeah.
Him. Because I think everyone who's calling saying you got to get rid of him, but I think everyone in their gut knows. Shoot, there's no real answer if we trade him.
It's just trying to get a refresh in here.
It's the same thing as when people ask for a backup quarterback when they're unhappy with the starting quarterback. They don't even care if the guy's any good. They just don't want to watch the same thing anymore.
Yeah. Yep.
I understand, but I do also believe that deep down, everyone does understand how good he is, how well, by and large, he's handled the city, giving it right back to us. Mm-hmm. You know, that sort of guy has some of the Jimmy Rollins in him where he's not scared to give it back to all of those things. Yep. I think deep down, everybody knows that trading him does not end up well. But I understand the frustration. I get why people are frustrated. So speaking of frustration, well, I don't know if frustration is the right word.
I'm frustrated.
Jack is frustrated.
Yes.
So on Friday, Ike and I... You know, we were all alerted on Twitter by somebody who said they were listening to the Final Out the other night, which Jack often hosts from home.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, I heard a fart at, you know, like 10:35 last night. And we went back to the audio, and here's what it sounded like.
Dave kicks off tonight in Maryland. What's happening, Dave?
Last night, you know, questioned the lineup and... Yeah, I'm a high school athletic director, and I got they popped up on my phone and just.
Now Jack was at a wedding.
Yes,
blame the couch he was sitting
well,
on.
Well, that obviously was not a couch.
Yeah, that is obviously not.
That's a
well,
fart,
I didn't
buddy.
I didn't listen to the audio because I don't need to hear myself being torched on the air. But that's obviously doctored audio.
What are you talking about? It's doctored. I wouldn't even know how to do that.
What do you think? Do you think I put the microphone right up to it? And then that's what I was doing.
Here's what I imagine. Here's what I imagine. I imagine you're sitting comfortably at home. Maybe you're on a couch or something like that.
I am on my couch, yes.
Leaning back, maybe holding the mic.
Right down right in that area.
Well, holding the mic, and maybe you turn your head and you just point the mic sort of down, and that is could we just hear it one more time?
Dave kicks off tonight in Maryland. What's happening, Dave?
Last night, and, you know, questioned the lineup. And
what is that?
It's a fake fart is what it is, Ike. It's a fake fart.
Oh, you mean you think somebody just put that
in
there?
I think I'm being set up here.
I wouldn't even know how to do that.
Yeah, well, Ben Kenny knows how to do it. He's a bad guy.
Who does?
Ben Kenny.
I did not even
Ben
think
did
of
not.
It.
Come on, Ike. Come on, Ike. Would you have a better ear? Would you listen to this?
You know, questioned the lineup and...
Well, who farts like that? Again, unless it was right next to the microphone. I mean, come on.
Oh, man. First of all,
I can't believe you.
I'm not an expert. I'm not an expert on this.
No, I know. Yeah, you have no experience with farting on the air. No, I got all these hate tweets to people still lining up. Oh, you farted. Like, what are you people? IQ of a squirrel out there? Like, seriously, people really think that's a real fart.
It is.
It's not a real fart.
I thought when it was me, it was okay.
Yeah.
That's an authentic ass fart, man. Like that's not authentic. That's not like a cartoon fart.
Let me ask you this: how did Ike's fart get in the mic?
Because
how did that happen?
Well, because he didn't turn his mic off, and I jacked up the audio on it. But there's also original. You can hear it in the original.
True or false, Jack? You don't have a dump button at home. You don't have a cough button.
No.
So if you're talking, it's not very easy for you, because I use a Comrex at home, too, occasionally.
Yeah.
It's not very easy to turn down the audio if you have to pass wind.
Sure.
Well,
I might have farted before, but that was not a fart.
Yeah.
Like, this is a fart on the air.
Hello?
Johnny Marks, holler at your boy.
Well, I would ask the rhetorical question of how do you come out with little energy?
They sound the same to me.
They do not sound the same. That's authentic, man.
They sound the same
Even
to me.
Even that one didn't sound like that was me either, man.
Yeah.
You know, question the lineup and...
Now, who was that?
That was apparently my...
Oh, that was you?
Yeah. I mean, listen how, like, wet this one is. I mean...
Oh,
question
God,
of how do you come out with little energy?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay. Talking about Embiid, the AJ Brown
Speaking
thing.
Of farting.
Yeah, talking about Yeah. Well, there hasn't been anything of me. So, Tom in Abington, you're on WIP.
Yo, fellas. Spike, I'm going to get to my point. But as far as the fart, I mean, I thought I heard him fart in the greeting before that.
Really?
Fart, what? No?
The greeting.
As you were welcoming him on the air?
Yes. I heard a little something, which was more of a fart than that.
Really?
Like, I don't know. Yeah, the other one was like projected.
Or one more time. Jack, could you play your greeting?
What greeting?
Just the beginning of the call.
Oh, all right. Well, let's see.
Dave kicks off tonight in Maryland. What's happening, Dave?
You heard that?
I don't hear anything in the beginning.
I hear a little.
Bad call.
All right. Anywho, listen, man. We're dealing with two things here, Spike, which you're overlooking. And,
okay.
Or not two things. One thing. It's two words. Process karma. That's what we're dealing with here. All right? And until Embiid's gone, because he's the last really remaining piece of the process, this is what we're doomed to. Second-round exits, first-round exits, injuries. I mean, we're dealing with Dulles palsy. Sam Hinkie started this, and while it was a great idea, he just carried it too long.
No, so, he didn't. He was here for 2 years, Tom. He got run out of the building by the league. He wasn't even here that long.
No, and I understand.
Daryl Morey has been here longer than Sam Hinkie ran the Sixers.
I get that, but he started the process, and the process continued on for way too long.
It didn't.
So
it didn't, Tom. God bless you.
Where are we?
It didn't. It just didn't. It didn't. They were winning after 3 years. It didn't.
Winning what?
What is the
process?
Tom, what you said the process went on too long. What exactly do you mean by that?
What do I mean by that?
Yes, is the process?
By acquiring hurt athletes, by trading off assets, by just ignoring
who?
Freaking rope.
Who? Who did they acquire that was hurt?
Joel Embiid.
The best player on the team and won the MVP last year.
Okay, Markelle Fultz, thoracic outlet syndrome.
That
Ben
wasn't
Simmons,
the process. It wasn't the process. They were already good.
What you're missing is this is the lingering effects of it.
Okay.
And until Embiid's gone, this is what we're stuck with. And if you're looking for a solution to it, I would say trade him for whatever you can get.
Okay.
And,
go buy a voodoo
doll. I understand what you're saying. It doesn't work out when you trade off these players, right? But if you trade off Embiid and you get the assets that you need now and do the process for a year, maybe two.
Which is exactly how long they did it in the first place.
Oh, stop it, Spike.
It was 3 years, Tom. It was 3 years.
Did I watch this team with 10 wins and this and that and the other? I mean,
3 years.
Let's go through it.
It was 3 years. It was 3 years. Let me ask you something. Tom, if the Sixers have bad karma for being bad for 3 years, why don't the Knicks have bad karma for being bad for a quarter century?
Because they weren't trying to be bad. They're just morons. We were actually trying to be bad.
Do you know who else did that? The Spurs.
Ugh.
And they won a title.
Okay. How long did they tank for,
oh my God.
Spike?
Tom, what is an acceptable amount of years to be bad for?
1 to 2 years.
Okay, and what if, Tom, what if in your draft pick in that 1 to 2 years you don't get a superstar? What do you do then next year?
Well, you wind up like the Sixers.
There we go. No answer. I'm not debating the process.
Oh, you will.
Well.
It was done
once and for all.
It was done in 3 years. Yeah, we solved it once and for all. We solved everything. Don't you guys remember?
Yeah, I know. Donovan Tio.
Yeah. Ike.
I remember. And I was a process guy, so I had no problem with the process. There will be people out there that still believe the whole process thing is the basketball gods not shining down favorably on us.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But even the Lakers prior to, you know, they had a huge gap in between not just being great, but being good at all.
Just being relevant, yeah. Yeah.
There are plenty of NBA teams who you can't tell me that the karma is bad because you're bad on purpose for 2 or 3 years, but when you bumble your way through decades, there's no bad karma there.
Right.
You know, I don't know how to argue with people who think it's, you know, bad karma. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say. Sean in Sewell, you're on WIP. What up, Sean?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir. What's up, Sean?
First, this isn't my main point for coming on, but I did just want to kind of throw it in there that if you're somebody that wants to trade Embiid, I think that's just crazy. I agree with you, Spike. I just think that's crazy. But the main reason I called is because you guys were asking the question, do you still believe in the Sixers? And, you know, you can call me an idiot or a sucker or whatever, but I do actually still believe in them. Not to say I expect them to win, but I do believe in them. I do believe in them still.
Let me ask you why. Why do you still believe in them, Sean?
All right, why? Because I think this team has showed something different in their mindset, led by Embiid. I don't think he's been as soft as people are leading him on to be this year. In past years, I think that's an argument, but I don't think he's been soft. So I don't expect this team to roll over like you saw in Game 7 of the Celtics series. I just don't see that happening. So I think put that on top of, in my opinion, I think they showed us that they can win in New York. I know we didn't get one, but I think they were in positions to where we could have had one. So I don't see why they can't win one Game 5 away. You win a home Game 6. And then Game 7, I mean, the famous words, anything can happen in Game 7. So do I expect it to happen? No, I wouldn't go that far. But I definitely still believe there is a chance.
Yeah.
This is the first call today. God bless you, Sean.
God bless you,
well, you sat
Sean.
Down. You're so relaxed. You just I sat down in the studio.
I'm on edge. I apologize to you guys. I am on edge
man,
today.
You're fine, man. Listen, you're fired up. I'm good with it.
Okay. It's just been a lot. I appreciate the call, Sean. You can call. Yeah. You're going to go right to the top of the call board every time.
I'm good with
welcome
that.
Back, listen, buddy.
I actually believe they're winning tonight, and I also believe we're going Game 7.
I'm going to feel great if that happens.
I'm,
is that a success at this point?
Yes.
I think they give us a valiant effort tonight. I really do. I just don't know if it's going to be enough. I don't know if it's going to be enough because if I'm being honest, you got to look at it from the Knicks side. They want to end this tonight.
And that
like they want this to be over with tonight.
MSG is going to be
crazy tonight.
Absolutely crazy.
What? Damn, Stars will be there again tonight.
Oh yeah, Turtle will be there.
Ben Stiller and Turtle. Yeah,
and Turtle.
John Starks at every game. Yeah. At least I'll give him credit. He made the trip down here too.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. Can't like
what,
him.
What do you have to say about John Starks?
Yeah.
This is your fault.
In fairness, and I've said many times, he is my sports hero. He is my favorite player of all time in any sport.
Well, it sounds like Embiid, but...
No, it's not Embiid. I just never had a fight about John Starks in the air. And if I did, trust me, I would have. Wait, in the Game 7 against the Rockets, I would have fought for John Starks, even though he shot 3-for-19 or whatever.
Yeah, tough negative.
Yeah, I would have been, hey, at least he had the guts to shoot guy. That's what I would have been.
That's me.
Yeah. The Twitter poll is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mother's Day is Sunday, May 12th. Shop the home team at Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel for mom. Online at marks-jewelers.com. Do you believe the Sixers win tonight? Yes or no? Ike, where do you think the percentages lie on that?
Well, I'm not in agreement, and I haven't even seen it, but I would imagine most people will say no.
Correct.
Tonight, and I would think it's at... Let's go 73%.
71%.
Wow.
But they're obviously winning tonight.
I would. Like, I don't know, feel. I'm nervous about tonight.
They're going to win tonight. And then they're going to let us down in Game 6. Yep. Like, that's what's going to happen.
That is the worst. That is worse than losing
which
in Game
7. Which is probably
why,
yeah. Which is.
Well, they always make it the most painful.
They could easily do us a favor and lose tonight and just be done with it. But no, they're going to win tonight.
Drag us along.
We're going to drag us along. We're going to be pumped up about winning Game 6.
You guys think Game 7 will be full of Sixers fans at MSG?
Oh, I'm sure.
Takeover?
Yeah.
Yeah. Coming up next.
By the way, the most ridiculous part about the whole thing, well, that's the richest city in the world. I get it. Was there rich people in Philadelphia that can't go?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Michael Rubin and all his damn friends are in New York.
Yeah. Hey, where's Meek?
Yeah. No, oh. Truly. No.
Slow down. Okay. Idiot.
By the way, another person on Twitter hears Jack Breakwind after he greets the caller.
Somebody else heard it.
Yeah, no, I've replayed it back here.
Yeah.
It sounds like a little pop.
Okay, all right.
You might have misplaced where the fart was.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Coming up next.
Fartgate.
Coming up next, you've heard my, I had YouTube scouting for the NBA draft. I did my YouTube scouting for the NFL draft. And coming up next, I will tell you based on my YouTube scouting what I think of every Eagles draft pick. We are going to fly through those. I have some real insight for you. That is coming up next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.